Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. If we truly do that, poured contempt on our pride, I believe we would be more humble than we are. God tells us He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. How we need to think about Christ suffering. The Prince of Glory died, and be humbled by it. Listen also to the third stanza. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Reading from Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, as servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Let's give thanks for this new and living way, this way in Christ, and pray that not only will we see it as being done by Christ, but applied by the Holy Spirit to each one of us and to the church and reviving it, and then the church being a salt and a light, witnessing throughout the nation and the world, as we need to do it so desperately. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We give thanks in His name for all that has been given. We also beg in His name for all that is needed in teaching, that we also listen to Thy word and be true to the doctrine of it, as these were here at Rome, obeying from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to them. We know not by who, we know not the beginning of that church, but we know that it was done. And as Paul could write here, that they believed it from the heart. And we pray that we also may believe Thy word, every part of it, every teaching, and that we'll once again in the church endure sound doctrine, the doctrine of creation, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of Thy holy law in its place, not for bringing us into righteousness, but showing us that we have no righteousness. And we pray that we also may come to know Thy holy law in every part of it, as teaching us, humbling us, turning us, especially that part of the law that tells us, Thou shalt not kill, or better stated, Thou shalt not murder, when we are so guilty in our nation of murdering the unborn. And we have many other teachings in Thy word. We think of the teaching that Thou dost give, Lord Jesus, telling us that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And we have our homes broken up so easily, so terribly. We pray for the young in those homes that are troubled and broken. We pray that Thou would guide them and bring them to Thyself. We pray, Father, for the other needs that there are in many different areas where we are disobedient. We pray that we might recognize them all and come back to true doctrine, the history of the world, that Thou art our Creator, Thou art our Lawgiver, and that we will learn through those things that we need a Redeemer, and that we then rightly, with the songwriter, survey that wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. The Prince of Glory died for sinners like us, unworthily and guilty, blind, all these different things of unbelief. And we pray, Father, that we might be thankful to Thee for what Thou hast taught us, and we pray that it may be applied to us with Thy Spirit and a mighty power to revive us in the church, to awaken many in the world, and that again we might be a salt and a light in our nation. We pray, Father, for those that need Thy healing hand in the body. We pray for those that are in hunger and homeless, persecuted, the different calamities that are there throughout the world, the ones in older age, the ones in suffering in different ways. We pray for them in sorrow. All these things, Father, we give thanks that we have so many blessings, and pray for those that are in need through Christ alone. Amen. As we think again of this 8th verse that we mentioned last week, sometimes different ones pick out a verse out of a chapter and say this is the most important verse in the chapter, and it is very important. possibly not the most important. The rest much in line with it. But just listen to it again. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That first part, a requirement. If we be dead. We saw in the first part of the chapter, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Again, we have the first part, buried, before the second part, raised up from the dead with Christ. He was raised up by the Father. We are told in that fourth chapter of Abraham's believing on him who could raise the dead and give to the dead a child. And then Paul tells us that it was not for his sake alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. As we have said before, we have both death and resurrection over and over and over again. And going back to the 20th verse of the 5th chapter just for a moment, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That is part of God's way with us, bringing the law as the schoolmaster, that sin will abound, that it will become troublesome, as Paul could state in the next chapter, chapter 7, verse 9, I was alive without the law once, but the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Many times in the church, we think we are not sinners like others. We may be sinners with Paul. That sin of covetousness. Who would dare to say that we're not guilty of dissatisfaction or wanting something that's not ours or that we should not have? Thou shalt not covet. We can covet in the pulpit. We can covet in the pew as well as in the world. Especially covet honor and our pride. And there is, I think, sometimes more pride in the church than in the world. We think we are better, like the Pharisee, and haven't learned with the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what Paul is talking about here when he says, now if we be dead with Christ. We don't read about Christ in the story of the publican, but we know that he must have believed on him, or he could not have been described as going to his house justified. That had to be there. He had to know with Abel, offering the lambs, offering whatever he brought, very likely to the temple, and the Pharisee probably also brought something. The publican knew that as he brought an offering, he needed an offering for himself. The Pharisee probably thought he brought a good offering and by it earned his own righteousness, not seeing the type and the way of the offerings in Christ alone. We can do that, even in our religious ways that bring us to repentance, bring us to faith. There can soon easily be pride, and it often keeps us from being dead with Christ. When we think of this, I think of people sometimes saying, well, maybe I'm like Cornelius. Cornelius was a man that God recognized his prayers, recognized his alms. Very plainly, we find that in the scripture, in Acts chapter 10. We read there the description of him, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. A right, wonderful, true description. But what did he have to have? We read in the 11th chapter what had happened after Peter had gone to him, told to go to him, and some complained that he did with the Gentiles. And then we read in the 11th chapter of the rehearsal of it, and this is what Cornelius had to say. He showed unto him that he had to call for Simon, whose surname was Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Cornelius had to be saved. He had to hear words by which he had to be saved. And not only do we read about that part of it, saved, being justified, but we also read the other part, the dying part, called repentance. In verse 18 of Acts chapter 11, concerning the whole narrative of Peter going there, it said, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That's what Paul is talking about here when he is stating in this 6th chapter, the 8th verse, now if we be dead with Christ, that's repentance, dying. I'm guilty. I'm lost. I'm a sinner with all others. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you, me, and everyone else. All have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Do we know that is true of me? I'm in that number of not doing good? Yes, we may wash the outside of the cup. Then again, as I mentioned before, have pride. We're better than others. That may be the very worst sin that we can be guilty of. It's a lie. There's no place for pride. There's place for shame. There's place to confess, as Daniel did. To us belongeth confusion of face as it is this day. We and our fathers have sinned. And along with it we read, when I was confessing my sin, Daniel's. And Paul certainly was an example himself, as stating later to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Not was chief as a persecutor, but who I am chief. And we can read that in the present tense very plainly, also from the next chapter here, Romans 7, when he said, O wretched man that I am, not I was, but I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Do you know that your flesh wants to serve the law of sin? It wants the lust of the flesh. It wants the pride of life. That's what our flesh wants. And we are very blind if we don't realize it with Paul. Again, those words, now if we be dead with Christ, if we have died, how can we see that? Yes, by the law, as the schoolmaster, Paul says, I had not known sin, but by the law, thou shalt not covet. And then, when sin revived, I died. But also, when we go to the cross, see Christ there. Why? He's dying on the cross. He's nailed to the cross. We read, and there they crucified him. His blood was being shed. Why? He was dying for me, for you, if you're a believer. And when we see that, we must die with him. That's where I belong. He's there for me. He became a curse for me. Do you know that? That's dying with Christ. He's dying in my place. If he hadn't died, I would have no hope before God. If I was alone in the world, he still would have had to die. In our wickedness, in our pride, we don't seem to know that. We know it historically, that he died. We commemorate it. Good Friday. Other times we read it in Scripture. We know a historic faith. But do we know, as Paul said, now if we be dead, hopeless, hoping in one thing, as Paul said, I have no glory except in the cross of Christ. That's dying with Christ. And if we do, we believe that we shall also live with him. Those two are together, dying with him and living in him and with him, or as we read earlier in the chapter and also in the next verse, the ninth verse, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not only what he did, it was 1900 and some years ago, but what he must do in us today. Today, we must live unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, the resurrected one. That's the message of all of Scripture. We can go back to Isaiah, spoke of it in the 53rd chapter, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Are you one of those people, God's people, that Christ had to be stricken for? Then, after dying, as Paul said, he died according to Scripture and was buried. Isaiah said he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, there was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Yes, it was a curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. But it was also for the glory of God, for the glory of his grace. And Christ spoke of that just before he died. He had lived up to that time to the glory of God. And then in the prayer that we sometimes call the high priestly prayer, recorded in John 17, he said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, the God who gave his Son, and then the Son himself, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." These words of Christ to the Father, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Looking into the time of his death, "Glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world." All things that he did was to the glory of God, the glory of the Father, the glory of the Son as well. All of that, Christ died for the glory of God. Christ died for the need of sinners like we are. It wasn't left there. It wasn't hopeless. It was foretold, and it happened. As Isaiah said, and as we can read it in the Gospels, and Paul referring back to it here, when he states, "Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him." He had gained the victory. As we can read in the end of that chapter that we sometimes call the chapter on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Once again, those words, "through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have the same thing in the 6th chapter here of Romans, the 11th verse, "Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He is in everything, the way, the truth, and the life. He is all that we need. And we need to die with him, as I said, going to the cross, seeing there His death in my place. His death that I deserve. His death that will accomplish what we need. Dying for our sins, and could say at that time of his death, it is finished. And then showing that it was truly finished, God raising him from the dead. That's what we have to have here in actual experience, as we saw it first, pictured in the wonderful ordinance of baptism, buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. We have both the outward picture of the inward work, buried with him by baptism into death. We must have that from the heart, as well as showing it outwardly to the world. Then walking in newness of life, showing that we have been resurrected with Christ, or we could say through Christ, as we read it here in the 11th verse, and as we also read it in the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then Paul once again exhorts, as he did in the first part of this 6th chapter, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If we have come to that repentance unto life, then we are dead to the way of the flesh, to the way of the world. We are with Christ and through Christ conquerors. Here Paul teaches the same thing, the 11th and 12th verses of the 6th chapter. Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. We have teaching and we have a command. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Very plain. If we obey it, we are also warned further in this chapter. We are servants to those that we obey. We show that we are in agreement with them. So there Paul says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We need to do that in so many things. We need to do it as they did here in doctrine, as we read in that 17th verse. The doctrine of creation. The doctrine again, thou shalt not kill. We need to speak out against the terribleness of the immorality that brings abortion and the laws that allow it. We need to speak out against the broken homes and speak for the children of those homes that are often described as mental problems, but it's spiritual problems. We need to see the cause of it, not just the effect. And the cause is disobedience to God. And the answer is repentance before God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.